You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to ENN on this, a Friday evening. I'd like to start off, if I can, today in particular, by saying good evening to Michael.
You Zoom him dead.
I'm sorry?
Zoom it dead.
Good evening, Michael.
Zoom it, baby. Zoom it dead.
And good evening, Michael.
Zoom it dead.
Is that it? Why were you, Michael, why did you do that?
I don't know why I do things. I do want to alert, before you say hello to Don, NBA free agents is officially open. Opens at 6. And Goran Dragic, a lot of people have talked about him. Maybe he'll go to the Knicks, re-sign with the Heat. And everybody's saying that Gordon Hayward looks like he wants to sign with the Indiana Pacers.
Why?
Don't know.
Okay.
Naptown.
He likes St. Elmo's. I don't know.
Well, since you brought it up, since we started.
You have to say hello to Don.
I'd like to say good evening to Don.
So I'm Robin Quivers, and now I'm Rhode Island.
Fair point by Don. Let's hear from Stephen A. He was on First Take, which is his program, with Max Kellerman and Molly Karam. And he talked about the Knicks and the Knicks' future.
Now we got Leon Rose. First of all, sound basketball mind. We got the ultimate recruiter in worldwide William Wesley. You get rid of 7 different players to create $40 million in cap space. You draft a box office attraction in Obi Toppin, even though I thought it should have been Halliburton. But I know Obi Toppin is Brooklyn born, Brooklyn bred, and he could play, and he's a Skywalker. But I mean, damn. You know what? If the New York Knicks made the playoffs, I think that's a cause for, it's been so bad, that might be a cause for a parade. So let's stop talking about championship.
You talk about
and let's
crawling.
Just keep ourselves and just say, yo, maybe, someday soon, they might make the playoffs, so we'll have a reason to look at them with some degree of respect. Can we just stop there and stop mentioning championship that we know is far, far, far away?
Well, so Steven's lowering the bar, but I appreciate it.
Also getting information, Hayward is from Indy and went to Butler, so that might be some reasons.
Well, what kind of crack research team do you have that was able to find out where he went to college? Must have taken a real detective, though.
Can't wait for this weekend.
I understand. I understand why you feel the way you feel. Chris Bosch was on the All the Smoke podcast, and he was asked about how he found out that LeBron was leaving Miami.
LeBron decides to head back to Cleveland. Was that a shock to you and D-Wade? Was it talked about amongst you three? How did you find out he was decided to go back to take his talents back to Cleveland?
Through a text. Through a text. I thought it was BS, and then, you know, about 10 minutes later, it's everywhere. I understand it. I get it at the time. At the time, I didn't understand it. In my mind, I was ready to put the team back together so we can, you know, because we had just lost. So we wanted to put something back together so we could win. And it really didn't go like that. You know, I took offense to it, to be honest with you, at first. I was only thinking of how I felt about it.
Now, he went on to continue this conversation about LeBron James and his time in Miami. And he talked about how upset he was and how long it took for him to kind of get over LeBron leaving the Heat.
When you go back to the locker room and Bron ain't in that chair, and then everybody's kind of looking at you for that 25 points and looking at D for that 25 points, you know, it's like, damn, man. We really did realize how special of a player he was. But at that time, I was, you know, I'm super competitive. I was upset. It still worked out for everybody. I was upset, and it took some time to get over it. I want to say it took months to get over it. You know, me and we had to be in the same place and talk about it. You know, nothing deep, but just talk and get back to the good terms and, you know, get back to where we were. And, you know, it's I'm glad we did. And it was tough to deal with.
I find it hard to, like, really have much sympathy. And you did that to other teams. And LeBron gave you 4 years in Miami. I mean, what did he ever tell you he was going to be there forever? So, I'm good. Thanks, as Don would say.
Wow. You hit him with an I'm good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, really, they did it to other teams. The only one who didn't do it to a team was Wade. So, you know, and then LeBron decided to up and go back to Cleveland. It wasn't like he went. If he had gone to the Lakers from the Heat, I could understand them being a little bit ticked. But he went home. He wanted to get something done at home.
Now, we mentioned, we're talking NBA. We're talking Chris Bosh. You could think of Toronto if you wanted to. So let's talk about Toronto, shall we? They will begin the 2021 season in Tampa. Bizarro world continues in sports. The Raptors were unable to reach an agreement with the Canadian government on how to play their home games in Toronto. So they will instead play at Amalie Arena, home of the Lightning. So, what's your name? Kaster.
Yeah.
You probably have some context you can give of other times anything like this has happened where a team switched its home.
Yeah, the Blue Jays this year went to Buffalo.
Is that it?
That's what I can think of right now.
Don,
I mean, some teams during the war changed where they held spring training, baseball teams during World War II.
Well, the Yankees played at Shea Stadium for a while.
2 years.
While Yankee Stadium was being renovated. The Giants played
in the Yale Bowl.
In the Yale Bowl in Connecticut. Some really
because Yankee
football.
Stadium was being renovated and they were building the Meadowlands.
All right.
But Toronto to Tampa is different.
Was it just the 75 season, Michael?
74 and 75.
74 and 75.
Those for the Yankees. Two. I'm not sure about the Giants. I think it was the same.
Those are the two that spring to mind, Peter. But playing in a completely different city, because at least the Blue Jays playing in Buffalo is like not that crazy, not that far.
No, this is wacky. The Raptors in Tampa, and here's a question for you: they're not playing. Wait, there could there be crowds there or no?
In Florida, yeah.
So, like, is there a chance the Raptors develop like a fan base in Tampa?
I mean, there are a lot of Toronto natives that, you know, snowbird down in Dunedin, which is not that, it's about an hour away from Tampa. So they might have somewhat of a fan base. So, you know, older Toronto natives do move down to Dunedin, which is where the Blue Jays train.
But Orlando's not that far from Tampa.
No, it's Orlando's about an hour and a half.
Yeah, so I guess it's possible, Peter.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Like, 20 years from now, there'll be a random pocket of Raptors fans in Tampa.
It's really hard, man. I mean, we're trying to do stuff that, in all likelihood, we really shouldn't be trying to do, but I understand why they are because of money. It's just, things are so whacked. They really are.
But I'm just looking at the way things are right now. I'm getting the same feeling we had in March. Right? Like, different dominoes are beginning to fall here, where it sounds like by the end of the month, New York City's talking about no indoor dining and no gyms being open and no, like, salons being open. I mean, it's trending towards December being a lot like the way April was, where the only reason we're leaving our house is to get takeout food and heading to the pharmacy. So how does basketball exist? Where it's all indoors, right?
Yep.
and the travel, even though it's going to be limited. When baseball did it, it was during a period of time where things were the curve was being flattened. So,
well,
basketball trying to play on December 22nd, Peter, is like basketball trying to play on April 22nd.
It's so true. Only difference is when things shut down the first time, we were at like 60,000 cases a day. Right now, 187,000 cases yesterday.
Yeah,
new deaths yesterday, 1,900. Now, remember, we were holding even at close to 1,000 deaths a day for a long time. And now it's up to 1,900.
So I just hate when you give numbers like that. Those are people.
Yeah.
I know.
Families. I mean, those families are like destroyed by this.
And they can't all be in nursing homes. They can't all be in their 80s. You know, so, listen, I think the professional athletes will be okay, but we're seeing Minnesota's playing tonight. Minnesota's playing Purdue. They got 20 players out.
Right.
20.
And they just keep plowing ahead.
Yeah, and because they play once a week and the money's incredible and all that, and I'm sure basketball will do the same, but we're going to be sitting here, I'm telling you, I was going to bring this up to Ryan Hurley, our program director. He better have announcers ready because we might be a couple of hours from a Knick game that's not going to get played. Right? You're going to see postponements. I think that's why they're holding off on the second half of the schedule. Like Frank Isola said yesterday, because they're going to have to make up games to get postponed in the first half. So we're going to be talking about a Knick game at like 3:30, 4 o'clock, and then it's going to come down that game's not going to get played because players tested positive. And they'll do what the NFL has done and what college football has done. They'll plow through, and they'll do contact tracing and all that, but they're going to be, because you're playing, what, Michael, 3-4 games a week, there's going to be games that are going to get postponed.
You know what will make everyone feel a little better in this moment? This is getting kind of dark.
What's that?
To hear a little Russell Wilson watch. I think that'll help.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Seattle.
Hey, guys. Russell here.
Russell Wilson watch.
Mr. Unlimited.
When you're on Easter weekend, your wife is showing you a braid in your hair.
Yes, the typical boring robot Russell, the one you guys love to know.
This is what goes on with you. Let's get it.
That's right. Big win for the Seahawks yesterday. Michael and Don picked it. They knew there was an easy cover coming.
They're just entertaining. When was the last time you watched the Seahawks game that wasn't at least entertaining?
You know what?
They're money on primetime games. Money.
By the way, man, would you say that you watch the Seahawks as much as any team that's not your own? They're on all the time. And it happened
Carroll's
for years.
A delight.
He is a delight. They're a very good team. Let's hear from Russell Wilson. He credits the defense with the win yesterday.
Well, the huge thing is the defense just keeps getting better and better. You know, and we're excited. We're excited about, you know, who we are as, you know, as a team. You know, we believe that as we continue to go out through the season, this has always been the case here, is that we always have this growth, you know, and this trajectory of continuing to grow and get better. And I think the exciting part for us is that we all sense that, we all feel that, and we can control that too as well, in terms of how we prepare, how we get ready, you know, how each game goes. And we feel really excited about where we're going. I think the defense played unbelievable tonight, especially against a very good offense. And
now, boy, that sounds so different than the Hey Seattle guy.
Hey Seattle. Yeah. Well, this defense is nothing if not inconsistent.
Yes.
21 last night to the Cardinals. They gave up 23 to the Rams week before. It's not too bad. But then before that, 44 to the Bills, 27 to a depleted 49ers, 37 to the Cardinals, 26 to the Vikings, 23 to the Dolphins, 31 to the Cowboys, 30 to the Patriots, 25 to the Falcons. So you can score on this team, yeah. But the difference for them and them going deep could just be them tightening up enough in the right spots, because that offense can still score.
Those jerseys are flat out gorgeous to me. Gorgeous.
Weren't you shocked at the end? I cannot believe that they sacked him at the end, that he could not get a playoff. I was shocked.
Yeah,
I
know. It was.
I was so sure they were going to score.
You wonder if he almost took the moment for granted, because all it is a quarterback of Kyler Murray's speed hesitating for about, what, Don, half a second?
Yeah.
If he hesitates half a second, you can't get out, because you'd have to think that he could have escaped that.
Yeah, but you saw it the week before, right? There were plenty of times where he was losing yardage. They had figured it out. That's why he's got to throw better. He's got to do a better job, and he will. I mean, he's only in his second year. But and he's got weapons, and there's times where he can buy some time. But it's he still has to be a little bit more accurate and learn to throw in the pocket. And I hopefully he will, because I think he could be a great quarterback if he could figure all that out.
Mark Sanchez was on the Gangs All Here podcast, and he was asked if he feels bad for Sam Darnold's situation.
I feel like it's pretty similar circumstances with, you know, new coaching staffs and new general managers, a lot of moving parts around him, and that's, you know, usually a recipe for disaster in this league. The idea is to get, you know, some continuity, some consistency with your playmakers around you. One, you got to get the playmakers, then you got to keep them for a while or as long as you possibly can with all the free agency moves and contracts and all that. But part of it, you know, is there's just nothing working in their favor right now, right? I mean, it's not a, you know, real veteran group. It's not guys who played together for a long time. And there isn't just a star-studded cast that kind of can figure it out or just use their talent and make plays, right? So it's really the triple threat in the wrong direction. So they, you know, they have a ton of room to grow, and they have some picks coming up here that look like, you know, this could be the spot, whether Gase is the answer or they move in a different direction, you know, who knows? But there's just so much uncertainty that, it, you know, it's almost impossible for a quarterback to have success with all those circumstances.
It's so
quarterbacks
true.
Would know.
But there's nothing, guys.
I couldn't help but think about Sam last night when I was looking at what Kyler Murray's weapons are. On one side of the field, he has the best receiver in football in DeAndre Hopkins. And on the other side, he has one of the best of all time. Talk about a nice security blanket.
Yeah, but there's nothing other than Sam, which is probably going to be his last games here because they're going to be in a position to take the quarterback. What is there that you look forward to from a talent standpoint? Like, this is on the come. Whoever takes over this team, guys, it's almost expansion level from talent. Like, what do you have?
Becton? Yeah,
Perine. Like this, Becton would be the guy because he was drafted sixth overall. But other than that, it's not like a bunch of young kids trying to grow into. They're barren, man. They're gonna have to start over. Maybe that would be attractive to a coach, right? That he gets to build a team in his own image, because there's gonna be a lot going out the door.
Don,
yes,
it's time for everyone's favorite song to play in the background.
Oh.
As we go through Sundays. NFL TV announcer schedule.
Climb aboard, Michael. Climb aboard.
That's just ridiculous.
We're backing out of the station. We're ready to go, Michael. And we'll start at 1 o'clock. Tennessee Titans at the Baltimore Ravens. Michael, you have a vested interest in that game, don't you?
Yeah, sure do.
Well, guess who else does? That's right, the $17 million man, Tony Romo and Jim Nance, alongside Tracy Wolfson and our friend Armando Quintero in Espanol. They're bringing out the big guns for this game for you, Kaster. You know what they say about when Quintero shows up?
What do they say?
Big game. Grande. Hugo Grande.
Juego Grande.
Grande.
This game.
That's right. Juego Grande. Also at 1 o'clock, Detroit and Carolina. You can't just get any team for that. No, no, no. You need a duo. They sound like a blue-eyed soul group. Coogler and Spielman. Kevin Coogler, Chris Spielman, and Laura Oakman, your reporter.
I thought Coogler had a good, call last week. On the Jones run last week.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job.
Yeah.
You know, I love it. My mom, for holidays, often makes a delicious noodle Coogler. It's delightful. Coming up, 1 o'clock. On Fox, Andrew, get ready. Philly and Cleveland, the now recovered and healthy and ready to rock and roll. Adam Amin, play-by-play. Mark Schlereth, your analyst.
Stink.
Stink, as he's known.
Green chili.
And you know what team he played quite well for?
Yeah, the Broncos.
Oh, and also, you know, that's right. Came over in a trade, I don't know if you recall that. Did quite well in Washington as well. Also, Washington native Lindsey Zarniak will be your sideline reporter.
Remember that awkward meeting in San Francisco, Michael?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean?
The Zarniak Rosenberg.
Oh, that was awful. It was uncomfortable, to say the least.
Yes.
And then when she put the restraining order on him, that was also.
Well, that's when it got weird. And especially because I was still sitting in front of her when she did it.
Yeah, excuse me, I'd like to...
When you hear the person say, I'd like to file a restraining order, and you go, I wonder who she's talking about. And they say, yeah, the name's Rosenberg, Peter Rosenberg, and you're standing right there.
Awful.
Pittsburgh and Jacksonville, the most underrated voice in sports broadcasting today.
Who is this?
Ian, the Regal Beagle, Eagle.
Yeah.
Alongside Chuck, a.k.a. Charles Davis, and wait for it, you know who it is.
Yeah.
Evan Washburn on the sidelines. Benny, don't call him Ricky, Ricardo, your Spanish announcer. Houston.
There is a Spanish announcer who does the Eagles named Ricky Ricardo. Yeah,
but that's not this guy. This is Benny Ricardo.
Right.
That's why I said it. So you don't get
confused. Might be related.
The Texans.
The Ricardos are like the Alberts.
Yeah, related.
The Texans and...
Thank you, Don. Yeah, related.
The Texans and the Patriots means it's time for a Catalan special. That's right. Andrew Catalan, or as I call him, Catalan, along Jim Lofton and A.J. Ross, your Spanish language announcer, Jose Antonio Medien. The Falcons and the Saints with our friend Kevin Burkhart, Daryl Moose Johnston, and future GOAT Pam Oliver on the sideline. And guys, you got to bring out the best team of the week for a game like this. Cincinnati at Washington, that means don't call him Hero, Spiro, Didis on the call. With Adam Arculeta and Jerry Olaya, your Spanish announcer. 4:05, we head to CBS and Denver, where Kevin Harlan will be play-by-play alongside Trent Green and Melanie Collins, Nelson Fernandez, Spanish announcer. The Jets at the Chargers. This will bring you, don't call him Bryant, a.k.a. What was the Family Guy Gumball's brother skit?
Don't remember.
Gumball to Gumball.
Gumball to Gumball. That's right. Starting this fall, finally. Greg Gumbel, play-by-play, the underrated Rich Gannon as your analyst. A.J. Ross, your reporter, and Halim Zadat, Spanish commentator.
A.J. Ross in two different places.
I did?
Yeah.
It's going to be, he's also in New England for the Patriots-Texans game.
Hey.
That's quite a flight. 4:25. You know, guys, Packers, Colts, you tell me who's on the call.
Packers-Colts. That's got to be Joe Buck.
That's right. That's right. Joseph M. Nightingale Buck III, alongside Troy Trevor Akluman Aikman II, and Aaron Rigorenovich Andrews on the sideline. Dallas, Minnesota, also 4:25. Mr. Unlimited, a.k.a. Kenny Albert, along with Jonathan Vilma and Shannon Spaquet. And, of course, the Sunday Nighter, the Chiefs and the Raiders. Wow, Al Michaels is going to be hot and bothered to talk betting for a nice Las Vegas home game. Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, and Michelle Tafoya. Monday Nighter, the Rams and the Bucks with our very own Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, and his soundy-likey, Lewis Riddick, Lisa Salters on the sideline. How many betting references are you expecting, Kaster, from Al Michaels on Sunday?
Maybe two.
In the open.
Also, Chris Carlin points out A.J. Ross is a woman, but...
Is that true?
That's what he said.
Now, is it possible that at the New England-Houston game, it's the male A.J. Ross, and the second game is the female A.J. Ross?
So is that a misprint, or is she going to make the quick...
My guess here, and I can't be 100%, is that that would be a misprint from the website I get these from.
You do realize that you've just taken... 6 minutes of drive time, New York afternoon drive radio, and just urinated it away.
No, I think he does it in an entertaining way. We ran it up the poll. 59% loved it.
I think if we did it now, the poll would be even higher. I think we get up to 70%. You want a recount? Michael, that's very popular these days, even when there are clear, decisive victories.
I would take this over the Yankee lineup any day.
Exactly. That's sponsored.
The Yankee lineup is sponsored, Don. Do you realize that?
I'd give the money back. That's how much I love this segment.
You know what?
Sponsor this segment.
I wish.
Value.
Whoever's listening right now, We have very rich, influential people listen.
Very.
I hope, you know, PC Richard himself, Richard M. Shamana, is listening and says, I want to sponsor that segment. Or maybe his, you know, a lot of people don't know this about the PC Richard story. His estranged brother, they separated his children, Donald Best Buy. Maybe he would want to sponsor this. But someone should get on board with this, Don, because think about it. If we get a sponsor for this segment, Michael can't even fight it.
Can't say
right. So let's make it. If it's sponsored, it continues. If it's not, it dies.
No, absolutely not. That's not even
nobody
right.
Likes
here's a way
it.
To get it sponsored, Peter.
What's that?
In some way, shape, or form, work in the Yankee name in the title to the segment.
Okay, what if I call it the New York Yankees weekly NFL announcer?
Yes, now, then we got a real shot. Break me off a piece of that.
Wow, you think you get Kit Kat for this? That would be big.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Tayshaun Hall or Taysom Hill is starting this week.
Right.
Big opportunity.
The most effective quarterback was Tayshaun Hall.
So Jameis Winston does not get the nod, even though he was brought in theory, to back up Drew Brees.
He must be red hot.
Yeah. So he comes in, he waits around. But guess what? Guess who's been waiting longer and more patiently?
And also signed a big contract.
So Taysom Hill will get the shot for the Saints against the Falcons. Important divisional game
now,
there.
Now, would you work something in to where you bring Winston in to be quarterback so Hill can do his shenanigans?
Could be. I thought of that.
Yeah, I would think you would. They normally do that. Why not? Greg Olsen, by the way, hurt last night. The Seahawks fear it was a ruptured fascia.
Yeah, it was not. Did you see it?
No, yep. I missed that.
He tried to get off the field and kind of collapsed. You just knew it was serious.
By the way, you know what I meant to point out to you guys the other day? I think it was in one of the 4 o'clock games. Maybe you guys were watching. It was the 4 o'clock.
Who were in the announcers? Do you remember?
It was Huard and A.J. Ross. And a player was going to the sideline, a defender, to try to make a tackle. And as he was heading to the sideline, another defender came in at the same time and ended up crashing into his own player's helmet.
Oh, yeah.
You saw that, Don?
Yes.
So it looked bad. And I remember you get so used to watching football that sometimes you can even see as a play is unfolding. I kind of look away just because I can see where bodies are kind of going towards each other. And sure enough, they show the replay. You see the guy's head get completely kind of smushed down, right? We take this moment for granted, Don. Football is the only game I feel like we're on a regular basis. It happens. You go, oh my God, this could be, God forbid, this could be a paralyzed person. They go to commercial. All of his players on one knee around him. And you start preparing yourself for the worst. They come back from break, and they just show a highlight of him trotting off the field. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
It's a weird emotional roller coaster to go on.
Well, there was one time a Cardinal receiver, Rod Tidwell, who did the same thing.
Go ahead.
He was up for a big contract, and it looked like he had really been laid out, and then he was just started to dance. So,
you said Tidwell?
Yeah.
What year
Rod
was this?
Tidwell.
Yeah, what year
Rod
was this?
We trust.
I think his agent was Jerry Maguire, but I don't know what year.
You remember the name of his agent?
Mm-hmm.
Hell of a player. How'd that pan out?
That hit was Monday Night Football, I remember.
Yeah.
In Arizona.
Yeah. I don't think Peter is along with us on this, Don.
I was along. I knew where Rod Tidwell was. Also a Cardinal, though. Good reference.
Thanks.
Full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited to know that Enes Kanter is back to Portland?
I'm very excited, yep.
Don, psyched?
Baby.
Three-way deal. Memphis gets Mario Hezonja and Desmond Bane, who was the 30th overall pick.
My situation sucks.
Excuse me?
Why did Enes Kanter say that?
No, Michael K. Show starts.
He's saying Michael K. Show starts, and we talked about how it sounds like he says sucks, and then RJ, the magician that he is, made it into a drop where clearly it sounds like he is saying sucks.
But Michael K. Show starts.
You know what? And it does when Peter's giving announcers.
You know, Don, but Don, you know what Michael is the equivalent of?
Like Grinch?
Like he's like a little kid who, when the sibling wants to do something and he doesn't want to do it, once the parent's okay that the siblings can do it, he's going to make the rest of it miserable till everyone goes, you know what, we'll never do it again. That's what's happening.
It gets, yeah. I'm telling you, all Sunday, I'll get tweets, I'm sure you get them too, about the announcers and because of Peter mentioning them. People like it. You're not a football guy. That's the thing.
How dare you? Don't you ever say that?
It's a great point by you.
No, take a walk. I don't want to hear any more from you.
I'm not saying you don't like football. I'm not saying you don't know football. I'm just saying you're not a football guy. Like, football guys get this stuff.
You mean a football guy cares where Evan Washburn's doing the game?
It's just the whole vibe of it, man.
That's not a football guy.
You know what it is? I'm telling you right now. And if I'm wrong, you know what? I'll resign from the show.
Oh, please.
But, Don, picture it. You're driving home from work on a Friday. It's been a long week. You hear that music and us breaking down the when and where of all... Because it's not just the announcers. It's also people just being reminded of the slate of games on Sunday. It gets people excited.
The thing is, Michael's taking it as an insult. I'm not, because you're a baseball guy. There's being a fan, and then there's being a guy, which is like an extra level. What Peter is doing is a conversation I'd have with my buddies all the time. Like, I wonder who's going to call the Giant game. Like, before there was the internet, before you could find all that stuff out. So Peter's right. Driving home, because there's fans of every team in the NFL.
All right, I'll split the difference then. If he does the Jets and the Giants in the national games, I could live with it. He's doing games that will not be on in New York.
No, but you got to understand, there's the Sunday ticket, there's the Red Zone. All right, and there are Viking fans in New York. There are Cowboy fans in New York.
Listen, I'm not going to win this.
How many times I got a Titan fan that's up my you know what when I talk about that. Randomly rip a team right now. We'll get a call from a fan in New York who
and
loves
it's to
that
please
team.
Them. I'm for the people. But you know what? We'll take it all under advisement. That'll do it for ENN on this Football Friday. Hear that? Thank you. You know what? I quit. I'm not coming back when we come back from the break.
The flyweight champions go to war at UFC 255 when both Davison Figueiredo and Valentina Shevchenko defend their belts. UFC 255 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV for more details. I'd love to keep this here for another 5 seconds, see if his hands start to vibrate. We'll be back with your phone calls, take you right to Carlin. Weekend Wager after Carlin right here on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.